We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa, it's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
All right, so
do your thing.
So now I have on the phone here Egypt and Andrew from the Comic Dads. Where can people find you guys?
Our primary is still Facebook. Our Facebook page at The Comic Dads. We post on Gotham City memes from time to time. We're on Instagram and Twitter.
At The Comic Dads.
At The Comic Dads for Instagram and Twitter.
Nice.
Our YouTube channel is very slowly getting populated. We still have some things we're working on that. We're starting to Twitch video games, and nice. That is...
Yeah, a little bit more so on my shoulders. Again, on Twitch, The Comic Dads. We're going to start streaming daily, every single day. Anytime I game, I'm going to start doing Twitch. I might mute up the comments because nobody needs to hear what I'm saying 99% of the time. So,
yeah.
Anyway, thank you for having us, Todd.
Yeah, man.
How long have we been working with 206 Geek? Like,
since our first year.
Day one.
Last year. So as long as we've been a thing.
2016, I think, is when I met you guys.
Yeah, good 4 years.
Yeah. So, and you guys are
how are you doing? Like,
yeah, I'm good. I mean,
but how are you doing? I don't.
Whoever asked you,
you know, as
I'm doing good. I've like I said just a minute ago, I just started using a new host and. It's working out pretty good, I think, and the software and the website look like they're pretty easy to use. I may not even need to continue using the recording software that I have that I've been using for fucking ever, but I may continue using it, but then I just import it over.
For sure,
I know my wife's still yelling at me right now because I have a box of literally like. A bunch of things that I want. If I had an actual like studio room, it would make sense. But she's like, get this out of my closet.
So many microphones.
I don't know if you can hear her.
So many microphones. And
I have so many
arms.
Microphones. I have arms, microphones, table attachments, and I'm just sitting here like.
But the funny thing is, I keep running into people, and I'm trying to pot them off on people, but. I never can snag a couple to take them and pot them off on people. So. But yeah.
No, we're trying to get rid of them.
So what you do then is you take the kids and you put them all into one room and then the other bedroom turn into a studio.
Well,
that's a dream right there.
We're working on it.
I think we're getting close.
Life
close. As long as I can get like. Can we say yeah. See the wife. I got a sugar mama. We need to really just call you hashtag comic mom. You really are. You're like behind the scenes.
She is the comic.
She's behind the scenes of every single episode we've ever done.
She's your camera person and...
No.
She's the Yoko.
No, I'm talking about my sugar mama.
Without breaking the band up.
She's the hidden one. She's the hidden gem.
She's like the Sharon Osbourne to our Ozzy.
Nice.
I mean... I'm really excited about everything we're talking about, but I know the main focus right now. Todd, drop it.
Drop it?
What's your take on Skywalker?
I loved it. I'm buying it when it comes out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We were both pretty big fans. I thought the first like 20, 30 minutes, it almost felt like a tribute to all the video games. Because you had Poe flying around, which was like the X-Wing TIE fighter homage. You had that old Sith temple.
You got different levels of it, too. You didn't just get the space battles. You got a little bit of everything.
You had that old Sith temple, which is like the Knights of the Old Republic tie-in.
That was really cool.
And then you had Rey doing Jedi parkour, which is basically what Jedi Fallen Order is.
Right.
And, yeah. She did. I really did enjoy. There was one scene in particular for me that I really enjoyed that felt like a mixture of canon from video games, canon from comics, canon from movies. It was a couple of those force jumps and those force landings.
Yeah,
it was fun to see it as a like a slowdown kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I never actually thought about that as a power or how to use that.
How they're doing and how it's
they have to never used that in the video games. I can guarantee you. Todd, what's your take on the force movements throughout the movie?
I thought they were awesome. I'm glad they used those things because, like you said, I think those are definitely pulls from, pun intended, pulls from the video games because we didn't see those before in the movies, at least not to that extent.
For sure, and I like that, you know, they set up the concept of Rey and Ben's connection throughout the movie, and it was ultimately for relatively useless stuff, like, you know, that fruit that was there or whatever to kind of tell people where they were. But then at the end, it became very useful, and that's how she passed in the lightsaber. You
Dude,
know?
That switcheroony.
Yeah.
That was dope.
That I was saw pretty it coming, awesome.
But didn't see.
Yeah, there was
did
a lot.
You guys kind of did. Anybody predict that?
I honestly didn't see it coming.
I assumed she was going to give Kylo the lightsaber because why the hell does she need to?
I thought she was going to dual wield. I really wanted to see some like awesome dual wield with her being like a dual wielding person. It would make sense for her to go like the God, what's the guy from
Darth Maul?
Force Unleashed.
Oh yeah.
The way he wielded too.
Right.
It's very similar to staff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I thought. The second I thought I saw that, I was like, oh my God, she's gonna do some like switchery roo.
I just knew that Kylo didn't have a lightsaber.
That was weird to me too.
Now,
you figure why the hell does she have two and Kylo got none?
So can we ask who's the strongest person in the Star Wars universe as of now? Like, even like throughout the whole movie, who is the strongest Jedi? Like, who do you think is the most important character in all of this?
No, the strongest or the most important, because those can be two different things.
Obviously, strongest. Let's go strongest.
I think it's going to be Rey. Rey's the strongest.
Yeah. It's Rey.
Do you think she was actually stronger than Kylo?
Yeah.
I think those two. I think as of right now, she's the strongest because he's gone. He's dead. So, but when they were both alive, I think they were pretty evenly matched.
Kylo was actually stronger because he held back with her.
Because
mind you, the whole time that she, the whole Chewie scene, mind you, he knew going into it that he's like, I'm going to test her. And literally, like, it seemed like he was holding back. He was in control of the whole situation. Like, I feel like Kylo actually, like, is probably the most OP character in all of Star Wars right now. Like, throughout the movie, until the ending.
I'm just happy Kylo wasn't just a whiny bitch in this one.
No, I liked his development
like,
is good.
Kylo and Finn finally felt like characters to me in this one. And in the previous two, they just felt like either a whiny bitch or window dressing.
So let me tell you, there's this weird habit of Star Wars doing this thing where they make a child out of someone. They make them act like an adolescent teen and then become the badass who they are. And that's the Kylo Ren we got. This movie.
Yeah,
he became
We finally got Darth Vader. We finally got Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker. You know, the whiny kid finally became, you know, they'll make a man out of you.
Right.
And they did it.
So, what was your guys' response to the realization that she was a Palpatine? I know that I gasped out loud. I was like, You know, I did not see that coming.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I didn't see it coming, but you figure you got to have some tie. And I mean, it makes sense. Like, I mean, the big story was, you know, is she like Obi-Wan's kid, or is she like Dooku's kid, or is she, you know, like there was always this theory that she was one of the super force adept out of one of those big families, you know, that had some ability. So it was on the list. It wasn't epically surprising. I figured you needed some dark side to light side story to counteract Kylo's light side to dark side story, you know?
Yeah.
You know, your yin and your yang.
Yeah, I can see that. What did you think, Egypt?
Can you repeat the question? I'm
sorry. What was your reaction when you found out that Rey was a Palpatine?
Oh, so I was surprised for sure. But you have to, if anybody knows me, I'm constantly on Reddit. I'm always on Reddit. And I love spoilers. I'm one of those weirdos that I like being spoiled. I like knowing things before anyone else. I have a weird... And Andrew does not like being spoiled, so we're kind of a...
No, I don't care. I'm so used to it at this point. I'm sorry, like, yeah, okay. Spoil everything.
So, I actually saw the theory where he was Palpatine's daughter, though. It wasn't granddaughter. So, like, the theory was close. Like, I actually saw a theory about this, and I know that the guy right now on Reddit who wrote this theory like 2.5 years ago is just, he's just punching holes in his wall. He's like,
Where's my money?
Yeah.
Where's my money, man?
He's doing his reenactment of Kylo Ren destroying his helmet.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I was very happy that they chose to go that direction.
Yeah.
I was really happy. Like, the only thing that would... Yeah, no, I'm going to go with it. It's good. That movie's perfect for me.
Yeah, I like I said, I love the movie so much that I saw it 3 times in the span of 2 weeks. I want to see it again just because how much I liked it. I want this movie to do well. I want it to win all the awards. And, you know, all these people who are nitpicking the fuck out of it are actually kind of annoying me right now, because it's like, really, dude? I mean, you're really going to – that's what you're going to pick at? That right there? You know?
I was bartending at GameWorks that opening weekend. And we had a couple guys who had just seen it. And, you know, one of them had the normal, well, I know a lot about Star Wars stuff, and I read this and that and the other thing. I'm like, yeah, okay. And like, I didn't really like it because it didn't tie into 7 and 8 very much at all. I'm like,
what?
But you just got done saying you didn't like 7 and 8, right? No, I really hated them. So why would you want them to continue the things in 7 and 8 you didn't like? And he still didn't quite register with that one. He's just like, oh, I didn't like it because it didn't complete the story. I'm like, for me, this put a nice bow on the entire Skywalker saga from 1 to 9. Like,
it
did what Endgame did to close out a series, you know? And I thought it was great in doing that. I think it gave some love to some characters that you haven't seen. They tried to bring as many of the Star Wars folks that were still alive and kicking back into it, and bring in Lando and everything else.
Yeah.
So I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah. And even
Davis and
yeah,
the Force noises when Rey was hearing everyone from the Force. I mean, they brought all the Jedi, you know?
Yeah. Everybody came back. Yeah, that was brilliant. I love that part. And I was in there. I had the second time I saw the movie, I was like trying to pick out the different voices, and there was a couple that I didn't recognize. But overall, I was able to pick out. Let's see, there was Luke. There was both versions of Obi-Wan. There was Ahsoka Tano. Then there was Mace Windu and Qui-Gon Jinn. Those are the ones that I picked up.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Before
Yoda, of course.
Before I make the statement I want to make,
what rating is your podcast?
He just said fuck.
Okay. Mine's explicit, so say what you fucking want to say.
Thanks. I just wanted to double check. I was giving like guest permission. I was like, hey, how are we going to be? Anyways, can you imagine? There has to be someone out there right now in that same scene. Instead of Sam Jackson saying that, he's like, do I look like a bitch? Or does he look like a bitch?
You still want Samuel L. Jackson somewhere to say, feel the force, motherfucker. Like, yeah. Everyone wants that out of Sam Jackson.
Right, right.
Everyone wants Sam Jackson.
And I still love the whole idea with bringing Samuel L. Jackson in. When they were like, Sam, we really want you to play this role. We think you'd be great in Star Wars. What would you like out of this? Like, well, I want a purple lightsaber. Purple, it doesn't really fit in with any of the canon or any of the writing that we've ever had on any of these colors of lightsaber thing.
He's like,
does it have to be purple? I want a purple lightsaber. it's the most brilliant negotiating tactic.
And the hilt has to say BMF on it.
It has to say bad motherfucker on it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, if it doesn't, then why would you
reach in that bag?
Does Yoda look like a bitch?
It's bad motherfucker.
Yeah, no.
And then he dies like a bitch.
Yeah, yeah. No, the thing that I thought was a cool kind of nod to Mace Windu was how Palpatine actually died in this movie, which was basically the same movement that he made to counteract the lightning in episode 3.
Yeah.
Dude, I just don't understand. So it seemed like Palpatine was kind of doing if you look at it, like in a long run, he was doing a Highlander thing, except for he was the original Highlander. And he wants every other version of him to kind of die out. And every time they do, he becomes more powerful.
Sort of.
It seems like he found something in the Sith.
I think he, Darth he, Plagueis the Wise didn't teach him all the secrets, and he was learning on the fly, is what I
think. I think he is Darth Plagueis.
No.
Darth Plagueis was his master.
The one that he killed in the middle of the night. Never mind.
I think Palpatine. Am I too loud, Todd?
No, you're fine.
Okay. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
He keeps shushing me.
I'm not shushing. I'm like trying to like. Sorry. I'm like trying to make sure we sound decent.
No, you guys sound fine. Plagueis was doing his thing, and he was working on cloning and all that other stuff, and. I think Palpatine killed him before he got all the secrets he needed, which is why he had Snoke and all that Snoke. Other stuff. Snoke? 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 Scope? Monkey trial? What are we doing
it's
here?
Like, Snoke, it's a cross between Snape and Snoke.
Not Snoke, you know, double G.
I get in half twice before you.
Well, it ain't no fun if the homies can't have them. But no, I think that was it. Is he killed Plagueis too soon and assumed the mantle of master before he knew all the secrets he needed to put his plan in place? Right. So that's why it took him so long to go from, you know, episode 3 to episode 9.
So you're telling me that Emperor Palpatine is basically Batman just abducting all these
prep time, yeah.
terrible orphans to do his bidding. And none of them end up working out. Most of them die. And he just keeps getting a new one over and over to get his plan
done. How many apprentices did he go through?
Dude, did we just make a Batman?
Yeah.
Or Palpatine?
Palpatine is Batman.
Oh, shit. No. That can't be right now. If you're going to tie anybody into Palpatine to the DC universe, it'd have to be Lex Luthor, man.
No, man. Not the way he gets new apprentices.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes perfect sense with how Batman goes through Robins and how Palpatine goes through apprentices.
What do you mean? Palpatine has a Death Star. He's rich.
He does tell all the Grand Moffs.
I think the biggest reason why it took him so long was that he was building all those battleships. all those Star Destroyers. Each one had the planet killing weapon on it, so that's why it took so damn long.
And you're telling me you're going to build however many Star Destroyers there were. Like, that was a good 30, 50 Star Destroyers, and man them, and ain't nobody going to be the wiser. Nobody's going to figure out that there's, you know, 5,000 staff on each Star Destroyer times 500. You need like 500,000 people to man all that stuff, not to mention the folks to build all that stuff, and just popping out of the ground like hobbits. I mean, what are we?
Well, I mean,
it's not like Saruman building the earth, guy.
What are they eating? Because they were all underwater.
What's going, like,
who's feeding these
people? This was the big big moment of disbelief.
This is one of those things that really shouldn't matter because it's a fictional story and you're thinking too much into it.
It's having the clicks argument about, you know, the contractors that were on the Return of the Jedi.
Segue there, Andrew. You guys caught that Kevin Smith was in the movie, right?
No. Where was he?
He was one. Remember when Rey did her Jedi mind trick and the two troopers are like, "It's good you're here."
Yeah.
He's like, "Welcome, guys."
Oh, that was Kevin?
That was Kevin. Welcome, guys. Yeah.
Hey. Well, he is a thinner Kevin. I may not have recognized him as so thin.
Dude, you have to be 185 if you're a stormtrooper.
Jesus.
What is it? It's 5'11", 185.
Clearly, no. I can't be a stormtrooper.
No. Gosh, there was an actual weight and measurement.
I can be the Chris Griffin version of a stormtrooper.
Oh my gosh, that would be so funny. Andrew, are you down to be the stormtrooper chicken?
Well, we always joked that we were going to join the 501st, and I was going to bring like Grand Admiral Thrawn or something.
He to wants play, to be
dress
Thrawn.
Myself up blue and wear that white suit.
There you go.
Well, That's my favorite bad guy in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
I was so sad that they took all those Timothy Zahn books out of canon when Disney got it, but I'm happy that he showed up in Rebels and he's got his own comic line now.
Yeah.
And they're incorporating him.
Well, I think that
Thrawn is always my favorite.
I think that Disney wanted to reintroduce some of the better characters from the extended universe into the canon. I think they just wanted to be able to have control over the story and all that, and which makes sense. And you know, as far as since we're talking Star Wars here, your thoughts on season one of Mandalorian?
Fabulous.
It was awesome.
I mean, it's spaghetti westerns for a new generation.
Yes.
It's all that stuff that everybody loved. So.
And
I mean, it was great. It did make me want, much like the Rise of Skywalker did, all I want is a new TIE Fighter X-Wing flight simulator game, because I want to fly all these cool TIE Fighters that they all have.
Right.
And I want to fly Poe's X-Wing, and I want to do all that shit, because who knows what 20, 30 years of technology has done to make these things better. You know, I remember in the video game, one TIE fighter really only took 4 blaster bolts to be dead, right? So now all your TIE fighters got shields and hyperdrive and all that shit they didn't have because they had to be attached to the Star Destroyer. So, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff like the Moff in Mandalorian with his TIE fighter, and that was not even as advanced as Kylo Ren's TIE fighter.
Like, right.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, his had the wings that folded. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, for sure. Like the Imperial shuttles.
Yeah, yeah.
So as far as the Mandalorian, right?
We're back to Mandalorian.
Well, so the Mandalorian may be one of my favorite scenes or favorite shows. I'm going to be honest. The second they took his helmet off, I kind of lost interest in the show.
Well, it was only for what, 30 seconds? I put it back on.
I don't care. I didn't like it. I didn't like one bit.
Well, it, did,
I don't know what it's doing. Like, have you ever watched one of those game shows where they and behind number one is this, two is this, and you choose one and you get two and you get a barbecue and the person next to you gets a trip to Puerto America. You know, like, chose the other door.
So
that's how I felt about this.
So him taking him taking the bucket off was the equivalent of getting a barbecue.
Yeah,
I was disappointed. Well, I was really disappointed. I was just looking at the show like,
the one thing I don't think that I don't remember seeing any closure on, that I hopefully will be a better part of season two, was the assassin that they left dead in the desert. Someone came up on him. I thought it was Carl Weathers coming up on her to release her, and we were going to run into her in like episode 7 and 8, but that didn't happen. So I'm wondering who found her and who nursed her back to life. Like, that's going to be a big season two question for me.
My big question is the baby now a foundling? Does that mean he's going to be a Mando?
I mean, it is a creed, not a race.
So yeah. Hey, you want to help support the podcast? Of course you do. And the easiest way to do that, there's a couple different ways actually. One way is you can go to the website, 206geek.com, and click the Rate Us Now button, and then it will give you several choices as to places to where you can rate and review the podcast. One of them, which is Apple Podcast. The other one is podchaser.com. And I believe the third one, if you're on a PC, will show up as Stitcher. Now, if you are on an Apple device or on a PC that has iTunes, do all three. Give me a rating and a review. The more people that do this, the more people that will be able to see my podcast, and the more the podcast will grow. So if you have to, and I've heard other people say this on their podcast, if you're like visiting friends and family, hey, can I see your phone for a second? And then like subscribe them to my podcast. I don't know. I think that's actually kind of funny. Subscribe your friends to my podcast, especially if you think they'll find it amusing and or entertaining. That would be great. Plus, doing the rating and reviewing helps too. So please, go to teosisgeek.com, click the Rate Us Now button, and then select one of the places where you can rate and review, and do that, please. It doesn't take much time. Thank you. That's all I can say about that. The other way you can help support the podcast is the host I use, Anchor.fm. It has a functionality where people can click the support button on the podcast, and it gives them three choices for supporting the podcast. $0.99 a month, $4.99 a month, and $9.99 a month. And for every person who subscribes to that, we'll get a shout out from me on the podcast. And if you are one of the people that does the $9.99 a month, I'll also give you an option to be a guest on the podcast. We'll just hang out and chat about whatever in the geek world, or actually whatever you want to talk about, really. I can talk about just about anything. So just to recap, there's a couple of different ways we can support the podcast. One is doing the Rate Us Now on the website, 206geek.com. And then the other way is to go to support.206geek.com. Once you go to that, click the support link and then follow the choices there. That's great. That's all you need to do to support the podcast. How cool would it be to see a Yoda-sized Mandalorian with force powers?
That's not even fair. That is like, the most open thing.
Just imagine if they take the Mandalorian saber from the Moth. Like, and that's the lightsaber.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Wait until you realize that they're going to do, like, a jump. Because this is before any of the new trilogy.
Yeah, before 7, 8, 9.
So just wait until this Yoda, or this baby Yoda, becomes the new, like, actual Yoda. Like, there's a reason that the hunters were after baby Yoda.
Yeah,
they wanted him
before anything could go down,
or to use him as a weapon. So obviously, he's like one of the most powerful things around,
right?
For sure.
Which is because that could also mean this could segue into all kinds of different things.
Yeah, I think isn't the Mandalorian also supposed to be around the same timeline as the end of Jedi, Return of the Jedi?
Shortly after Jedi. 5 years. Yeah, it's five years after Jedi.
So that could literally be a clone of Yoda.
I don't think so.
No?
Why not? Because that 50 years old, you go back 50 years, I mean, 5 years after Return, Luke's in his early 40s, late 30s maybe. Okay. So it would be 50, it'd be before Luke was alive.
Right.
He was even a thing, so.
Right. So they
I mean, that's born around the time Anakin was born.
Right.
The Jedi Code is not. Remember Anakin freaking out? He can't have a girlfriend. It's against the Jedi Code.
How would Yoda have one?
Cloning.
Because he's motherfucking Yoda.
Yeah.
Nobody. Yeah, it's a part
of the Jedi Code. But who cloned him? Like that. That would be interesting take.
No, he's a race built upon the Force. I've actually looked this up. He is also. I think those species are actually made kind of like through midichlorians.
Oh, screw the midichlorians.
You sure this isn't just some bullshit online Reddit thing?
Maybe, I don't know.
Sounds like some bullshit Reddit.
Yeah. Can you back check real quick?
If it involves midichlorians, I call bullshit because I don't. I never liked that.
Yeah, no, I like where they're going with Mandalorian. I've always loved Gia Carrera. I liked her when she was an MMA fighter. I liked her in American Gladiators. I liked her in Deadpool.
Yeah,
It's nice to see her get some character development and everything too.
I had a funny exchange with someone because I made a comment that the Mandalorian managed to do what Firefly didn't do, which was make a space western and also get a second season.
Ah, take that, Firefly. Sentient. Okay. So Wikipedia claims Yoda's a sentient. What's your point? But that's not baby Yoda. That's just going over Yodas in the Wikipedia.
I don't know. I'm trying.
You're trying to make things happen. There's more they'll figure out how to explain, and what they don't explain, they'll just write away as canon because that's what they do anyway.
Right.
So, you know. But yeah, overall, I think Star Wars has got some big wins. My 9-year-old loved it. Aiden loved it, right? Ain't seen it yet.
Everyone loved it.
I mean, and that's the important part is the kids falling in love with it.
Right.
I mean, when I was growing up, we had 4 movies on the VHS. We had the Star Wars trilogy and E.T. So I knew the opening scrolls of all 3 Star Wars movies by the time I was 6 by memory. Like,
wow.
You know, getting the kids into the new world is great. Like, who gives a shit if some 50, 60-year-old dude who saw A New Hope 5 times in the theaters didn't like this? Did all the 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds love it? And are they buying lightsabers and lining up to go down to Disney to go to the theme park?
That reminds me of the Ben Stiller moment. You're in my world. Now, Grandma.
You're in my world now, Grandma. Like, I mean, that's the deal. Is all us old fuckers can be the biggest gatekeepers we want and act like we're somehow superior and mighty, but it don't matter. If someone likes it, they'll keep liking it.
I'm gonna tell you guys something. I kind of breach all of our age ranges. I'm like the glue. I feel like I've always been that middle ground.
Todd's older than me.
Yeah, I'm 48.
That was rude, Andrew.
But you're trying to be the glue between us. I'm like, that's not how this works.
I was trying to make you guys feel younger. And called Todd all in one group.
Dude, I was 6 years old when that first movie came out in 1977. I've been a fan ever since. So for someone to tell me that I'm not a real fan because of X, Y, and Z, I just laugh at them because I'm going to like it regardless. You know, I'm not a fan of the prequels, but I don't hate them, you know.
You have to appreciate it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Phantom Menace, I saw 9 times in the theater, because I was so happy to finally be able to see a Star Wars movie in theaters.
Yeah.
You know, like, sure, it had its faults, but I loved Qui-Gon. I loved Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Darth Maul's fight. Like,
I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna say this, and everyone's gonna hate me.
Too late.
I don't care. So, win for me. No consequences. Qui-Gon is a bitch.
Qui-Gon is a bitch.
Qui-Gon's a bitch. Like, I'm sorry. He's whack. Stupid fighting style.
No. Liam Neeson's a total badass in every other movie. This is the only time he's been killed in a movie.
I don't care. He's still a bitch. His hair, whack. His Jedi outfit, whack. Like, I don't like Qui-Gon whatsoever. I like him in the books.
Are you doing your best Von Miller impression? That's whack, man.
No.
Trying to live the meme?
No, I'm just, like, thinking about these Jedis, man. But now they're really on the, like, the Star Wars discussion. I'm thinking about him, and as much as I liked him at the time, I look back and I'm like, you're a bitch. Like, Rey would handle you, dog.
I mean, Qui-Gon was still trying to play within the whole Jedi Council thing. And that's the thing that cracked me up about the first one, particularly in Phantom Menace. Everyone's like, oh, he's the kid that'll bring balance to the Force. It's like, balance to the Force? How can you assholes not do this math? There's, like, thousands of Jedi. There's two Sith. What do you think balance to the Force is going to mean, guys?
I don't know. That's funny. I never thought about that, but yeah.
Like, I mean, sure, you watch Clone Wars, you got the Night Sisters, you've got all of Tyrannus' apprentices, et cetera, but I mean, ultimately, the Jedi were running the show, so if balance is going to come into play, it ain't going to be because thousands of Sith are going to spring up from the woodwork. It's because a lot of Jedi about to die.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just my personal theory on all that. And I don't know how they didn't see that coming. Like, and then what did we have? We had two Sith, and we had two Jedi in Obi-Wan and Yoda. And then Luke. And then when Luke became a Jedi, Yoda died. So we still had two and two.
Yeah,
the balance was maintained.
And speaking of the Padawan and the Master, what did you guys think of like the in the Rise of Skywalker how they showed Leia, I know how to say her name, Leia, training?
It was fun.
That was cool. I wanted to know that.
And there's stuff like that I wanted because like the first hour of Rise of Skywalker, if you would put that into The Last Jedi, like up to where they're fighting on the Death Star, you would have appreciated Last Jedi more. And you would have had an extra hour to flesh out some of the stuff in Rise of Skywalker. Like,
but it wasn't the same director.
I know. This is hopes and dreams of stuff that are impossible to actually come true.
But let's look at what happened. It was okay. They fixed it.
The way I look at it is that the Rise of Skywalker fills in all the holes that happened in The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens, and largely because the fact that Carrie Fisher died after, I think, The Force Awakens, and they couldn't use her anymore, so they had to hold on to footage that they had. So they figure something else out to fill in those scenes because they couldn't use all those scenes they wanted to use in the other two movies.
I mean, so they brought Grand Moff Tarkin back from the dead, and he's been dead for 30 years. Like, I mean, if they really wanted to reshoot something with Carrie, they could have spliced and diced it and CGI'd it together.
I think that also required like the approval of her estate before they could do that.
Would her estate not have done that?
I don't think they wanted to just manipulate a body double with putting Carrie's face on it just to make a movie, you know? I don't know. I would have been fine with it, but then again, I'm just a fan. What do I fucking know? But I think that they were trying to be respectful of Carrie Fisher and her family.
That's probably fair, but I mean they didn't even body double Tarkin. They just built him out of CGI.
No, they had a body double.
Voice together.
The guy who voiced Tarkin in that movie was also the body double. And I only know that because it's in the special features of that movie.
Shows what I know. This is why you watch the special features.
Exactly, man.
But, yeah.
After I've watched the movie a dozen times, I go and watch the special features.
What you got? No? No more words?
I forgot what topic we were on.
We're still just babbling about Star Wars.
We're just kind of back and forth in the Star Wars realm.
There's too much to go on Star Wars. I can go on for days.
Well, that's fine.
It's pretty fun. There's that place in Arlington that I stopped at.
In where?
I think Arlington.
Oh, yeah, the Star Wars shop down in Arlington, yeah. Arlington's known for two things: the Star Wars shop and Kurt Cobain.
Aberdeen.
Oh, that's Aberdeen.
Aberdeen. Yeah, that is Aberdeen. Yeah. Arlington's up north. You guys are confusing me for a minute.
It's Aberdeen, right?
Yeah. Hey, it was a town in Washington that starts with an A, so that counts, right?
To Harborview. You did just miss Egypt's probably best pun he's ever made.
That was because it was so sly.
It was pretty sly.
I like sniping.
That Aberdeen's a city that's literally mind blowing.
I was proud of that.
No, I think the most disturbing yet funniest joke I ever heard in regards to Nirvana was someone said that the best thing to happen to Nirvana was a 12 gauge.
You think about it, they went out on top. The only place, like you look at, there's an old Dennis Leary bit where he talks about how, you know, some of these musicians dying in Kurt Cobain. He's like, just imagine what would happen if somebody would have killed Elvis at the height of Elvis's career and you didn't see the years of fat Elvis barely getting through performances, just not doing anything that anybody thought of Elvis, you know.
In the thought of...
There's some truth to it.
And the thought of him, like, dying on the shitter, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's something to be said about going out on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, 27th. I missed it, unfortunately. You can't spell funeral without a few men.
Yes. Wow. Egypt does.
Sorry. And I think on that end, on that one. I think that's my last.
So, if you had to pick one scene in The Rise of Skywalker to be your favorite, what would you say is the scene that you think is the best?
Hands down, the fight where the water splashing around them. Like, I had anxiety watching it. One of the best fight scenes, in my opinion. Plus, like, the whole scene of her climbing up into the old Death Star. Mm-hmm. Like, that was... And then them fighting on the old Death Star, like that was a lot. I was taken back, and I liked it a lot. Probably my favorite moment. I want to rewatch that scene over and over again.
I can see the anxiety-inducing part of that, because, I mean, thinking about it now, I realize that I wouldn't be able to stand out there, let alone fight with someone, without falling on my ass with all that water.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the traction control they've got on those shoes. I mean, it was a long time ago in a galaxy far away. And they still got traction like that. That's nuts.
Yeah, good traction.
How about you, Andrew?
I don't know what my favorite scene is. I kind of liked all of them in the desert. Like that whole checking out that festival.
Burning Man, yeah.
Going... Yeah, the Burning Man of the Star Wars world, and then getting lost in the ship and finding the remnants and like everyone having a part.
I also like that. Well, they were searching for relics too. That was super cool.
Yeah, like there was a whole like, it felt a lot like Knights of the Old Republic, and that's always my benchmark of Star Wars games. So it felt so much like that, like they were looking for something to get to the next something, and it made me happy. So
yeah,
I really liked that whole trip, and you know, Chewbacca getting captured, and you think he's dead, but like I knew he wasn't dead. I'm like, you ain't killing fucking Chewbacca like that, and not even showing it.
Right.
You bitches ain't doing that to me.
So. Yeah, I was worried, but I didn't think he actually died. I thought that something horrible happened there, but I didn't think he died.
I was about to riot. I literally was like, you can't take
home. What was your favorite part, Todd?
My favorite, I think, oh man, I'm trying to think here. I don't know, I think that the scene that, like hits me in the feels every single time. I don't know if it would say my favorite, but it definitely just it. I've seen it like 4 times now, and each time this scene like really just kicks me right in the junk is the scene where Chewbacca finds out that Princess Leia is dead, and every single time I start sobbing like my mom just passed away. You know, it was. It was so heart-wrenching, and I knew it was coming the second and third time I saw the movie. I knew it was coming, but it still hit me hard.
Yeah, it was so good.
And the fact that he just collapsed to the ground, that was intense. I mean, thinking about it now, I'm getting emotional. So, I don't know. I don't know if that would be a favorite scene, but it was definitely one that resonated with me.
Jarred it's with me, for sure.
I think my other favorite scene is when, like, I wasn't expecting. So, in my opinion, I thought Kylo was going to be the last Skywalker, and I thought Rey was going to die. I thought that was going to happen. Clearly, it didn't happen that way. The ending kind of had me for a flip-flop. I was like, okay. I was not expecting her. I was so pissed for a hot second. Movie ends. Kylo's dead. I'm not happy because I want Kylo to live. Then this bitch goes to
Tatooine
and goes right back to the Skywalker house. And the second she looked at the house, I literally saw it and I was like, please don't be skeletons. No, literally. No, seriously. That was my first thought. And I don't know if anybody else thought this, but I was like, I bet you they're skeletons.
Hey, the desert of Tatooine cleans everything up.
That's true.
Yeah, there hasn't been anybody living in that house for 42 years. I can't imagine there'd be any skeletons left.
Somebody's running a moisture farm.
Yeah, I don't know, but it was cool to see her actually go down, and like literally when I saw the place, all I heard was Luke.
Tell Owen if he buys the droid, make sure it speaks Fachi.
Oh, I was just going to get some power converters. Yeah.
When I saw her at the end, that was really cool. And then when she popped her head in, I just saw Luke working on R2 with C-3PO.
Oh, yeah. By a skyhopper.
When she looked in, and when she, it was like she was looking into my soul, and I was like,
yeah.
Get out.
Well, and Todd, the one thing I do like about recording and talking with you all the time is I can throw as many Kevin Smith lines I want and know they're at least hitting and you're appreciating them. So
I'm not as good as you.
Oh, dude.
You're better than me.
Egypt, you need to start watching those movies.
He's trying. He's got too much Witcher. And hey, we watched Witcher. Witcher's good. You should watch it.
I haven't watched it yet, but everything I've heard is awesome, with the exception that when you get to the end, you realize you have to wait a whole year before you get to season 2. So,
yeah, but at least you feel better about where the season's going as opposed to Game of Thrones, where you had to wait 2 years and then just be disappointed.
Right. But, actually, I just thought about. I think I just figured out my favorite scene in the movie. I think my favorite scene in the movie is at the end where the woman asks who she is, and she looks over and sees Luke and Leia standing there. And she says, Skywalker.
Yeah.
That, I think, is my favorite scene.
Yeah, that's classic. And that's, you know, yeah, that's probably a good place to end. You got anything else for us, homie?
No, not that I can think of, man. You know, I enjoy watching your guys' streams on your Facebook. That's where you guys usually do your thing, right?
Yep. Facebook Live. We're kind of sporadic, but I think Thursdays and Fridays generally.
We like to keep you guys on your toes. I'm just kidding. We have a super busy schedule.
Right.
Try our hardest to make videos.
I think the best thing for my listeners would be to just to go like your Facebook page and then set the notifications to let people know when you're about to do a live show, and they'll be notified.
Sure. And at the very least, if you like our page, there's the stuff we like to post are lots of stupid memes all the time.
Yeah.
Lots of stupid memes all the time. Sometimes you make them, sometimes you borrow them from other places. Lots of news and rumors. So even if we're not recording all the time, we're at least giving you something every day. Usually several.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna start recording video clips and start maybe
throwing it from Twitch.
Trying to bring Vines back. Maybe we should try to like bring Vines. Something like that back.
Egypt, if you want to do Vines, it's called TikTok now.
Take it back. I will not do that. That's the devil's work.
I actually installed it just a couple days ago and was and the vast majority of it is stupid, but there are some gems in there. You just have to sift through the stupid shit to get to them.
This is the old man Egypt fighting the future.
Get off my digital lawn. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And that'll do it, I think.
Right, it's always fun to have you guys on the podcast. We need to do this more frequently. Talk to you guys later.
I'm in complete agreement.
All right.
Later.
Party on, buddy.
If you want a shout out on the podcast, you can leave a voicemail or text me at 206-504-3190. You can also hit me up on social media at 206geek on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.